Well, Graham said last week that God is good because God is good, and that's great, and that's a bit of a circular argument. This week we're going to just sort of tease that out a little bit and find out, how do we know then that God is good? And it's hot, and you don't want to be sitting listening to me very long, because you're not going to remember it anyway. You're going to remember the songs that we sang. So we'll go through this very quickly, but just six things to say to you about how we know that God is good. Psalm 136 says this. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. How do we know that God is good? Well, I spoke about this when was it? Start of this month, July. I think it was the first week in July. We did a family service, if you remember. What did we do at that family service? We had a grow bag. What did we stick in the grow bag? We stuck in seeds, didn't we? Then what did we do? What happened to them? They made flowers, didn't they, if you were here? And we took we didn't take a flower home because I put them in the bin, but you could have taken it home. And you would have reminded you of the fact that God is good. God made a fantastic creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 31 says this. Genesis 1, verse 31, sorry, says, "God saw all he had made, and it was..." No, it wasn't good. Very good. It was very good. I don't know the original word that it would be translated from. I'm not into that, but I think that would be a very special word, that God saw what he had made and it was very good. Maybe he would have said it was brilliant, it was awesome, it was just amazing. It was the best that he could ever possibly put together. I don't know whether you've been taking advantage of the lovely weather and going for a walk and seeing the sea or anything like that recently, and just taking in some of creation, taking in some of the amazing things. There was a picture on, I saw somewhere on the website, of this amazing cloud band that came. Somebody said it was like a tsunami cloud that sort of sat across and then just sort of disappeared. A lot of things like that are just absolutely amazing. "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what's man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All the flocks and the herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So I put that picture up at that beach because I've sat on that beach, and that's an awesome beach. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it was a beautiful beach. And sometimes when we see God's creation, I don't think we can hesitate to say, God is a good God. God is an amazing God. God has made something in this world which is just beyond our... Well, we can't get words to fit around it sometimes. It is just so amazing. How do we know that God is good? Well, we know God because we have his word, the Bible. And we've just read something from the Psalms there, haven't we? Psalm 106 says, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? Because we have to. Or because it's a great idea. Give thanks to the Lord because he wants us to? No, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. We have a whole lot of different, I could read stacks and stacks of stuff to you, which I haven't got time to do. But Romans 8, verse 28 says this to us. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God's word, God's promises to us are true and are perfect, and they're effective for us who God loves. And when we read the Bible, it's almost like a love letter from God. We've talked about this before, a love letter from God to us, telling him how much he loves us, because this good God thinks that we are amazing and wants that relationship with us and wants to enable us as people to be able to have that intimate relationship with the Creator God. John chapter 20, verse 31, from the Message says this: Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book, the Bible. But these are written down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, you might have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. A good God reveals himself through the Bible so that we can get to know him and that we can have a relationship with us. And then finally, Jesus Christ is God's Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus coming into our world as a baby, coming to live in our world, is a sign, an example of God's love and God's goodness towards us. Again, from the Message, it says this: the Word became flesh and blood, moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and outside, true from start to finish. Something about God revealing himself to us in his Word and through the person of Jesus just shows us that God is a good God. God is an amazing God. The third thing is, we know that God is good because he is always with us. We've got promises in the Bible that say that God will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says this: it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, tomorrow, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So Jesus is consistent. God's love to us is consistent. God is faithful. The God that was there for us yesterday is the same God that's with us today, is the same God that will be with us into the future. Again, from the Message, Psalm 139 says this: is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. And for those of us that are flying anywhere on holiday, that's a thing to remember, isn't it? Even when we're in our aeroplane, and we've heard some bad things about aeroplanes, if we climb to the sky, God, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. We know God is good because he's always with us. We can't escape from God's presence. We might think we can escape, we can disappear, we can put our head down and we can do something and God doesn't see us. God sees everything we're doing. God knows all about us. But God still loves us the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's a critical thing for us to remember. One of the ways we know that God is good. We know God is good because he keeps his promises. I'm sure all of you in this room have been let down by a person who said something they were going to do and then they didn't deliver it. They promised you something and they didn't deliver it. And you felt disappointed and you felt maybe a little bit, well, the promise has been broken. Can I trust that person to say they're going to do that for me again when it didn't happen? The Bible tells us that God is truth, that God always, always keeps his promises to us. There was a man in the Bible called Joshua. He'd been given the job by Moses to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And he had started off on this journey, and I guess he was probably quite scared. I guess he was quite anxious that he'd got this huge responsibility to take these millions of people to this new place. And God had promised it, but there was lots and lots of issues that they had to deal with. And God says to Joshua, at the start of the book of Joshua, he says this. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And I think those stories and those things are in the Bible because that's the words that God wants to say to us. God just doesn't want to say it to Joshua and we read it and go, oh, that was great for Joshua, bully for Joshua. I think what it's there for is to say the God that was there for Moses, the God that was there for Joshua, the God that was there for all these other big, exciting people in the Bible is the God that's going to be there for little old you in the situation that you face and the problem you face and the trials you face and the difficulties you face and the exciting things you face. As I was with Moses, as I was with all these people in the Bible that we read about that we think are awesome, I'll be there for you. And I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. God is good because he keeps his promises. Every day at Food Bank, we pray and we gather the team together. And usually I pray and I'm sure people are a bit bored by the prayer, but the prayer we start off with every morning is thank you, God, that we're alive. Thank you, God, for the life you give us. Thank you, God, for the breath you put within us. Let me go on to pray for the other stuff that's going on. It's such a basic thing, but it's something that we have to really understand. We are alive because God lets us be alive. It's as simple as that. We're not here because of anything we can do. We're here because God wants us to be alive. Our very existence is down to God. Psalm 139 is an amazing, amazing psalm that talks about the whole bit of God knowing us. I'll read a bit of that in a minute. God knowing us and shaping it. And sometimes scientifically we can work out this whole thing of how a baby is born and how a baby is conceived and how a baby grows and all this stuff. We think we've got it scientifically sussed and we can put it in its boxes and we can work it out. But we can't actually create life from nothing. It's physically impossible to do that. Nobody has been able ever to do that. They can start from something that is alive and create something else, but they can't kick off life from nothing. It can't happen. Psalm 139 says this. It says, you shaped me inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation! You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. That was David's words, David's thoughts, David's understanding. The thought there is, gosh, God, thank you. You are an amazing God. And we want to say thank you for the life that you give us, for the life that we have today, for the fact just simply that we are alive. Do we ever start the day and say, gosh, thank you, God, that I'm alive today? Sometimes we bring our list to God, don't we, of things that we want God to sort out and all the issues of the world, which we don't really understand, that we think God ought to be doing something about. Sometimes good just to say, thank you, God, that I'm alive today. Thank you for the life you give me. Thank you for the life you put within me. Thank you that I'm alive. How do we know that God is good? And this is the last one. Most of all, we know that God is good when we look on the cross. You know, it's in the cross of Jesus that the goodness of God is revealed most clearly. In the moment when everything looked as if it was going belly up and the whole thing was going to be a disaster, when it looked as if God had been defeated and it was powerless and Jesus was hanging on the cross and it looked as if the whole thing was awfully over and Jesus gave up his spirit and he died, it was in that moment that God did something that was absolutely amazing, that Jesus laid down his life so that we could have a relationship with the Creator God. Someone once said that the cross is God's yes. And no matter what we've done, and no matter what we've said, and no matter what we've been, and no matter what we've been involved with, and no matter how long or how hard we vehemently rejected God, God accepts each of us. And the arms of Jesus were wide open on the cross, weren't they? Almost saying, yeah, I just embrace you, I welcome you. You can't do anything that is so bad. You can't be such a grotty, hopeless, awful person that you're not welcome. There is nothing, 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 nothing that you can do that stops me loving you. Sometimes we miss that truth completely. We think that God doesn't love us because we've done something. We think God doesn't love us because we've been somewhere we shouldn't have, or said something, or whatever, made a mistake. I want to tell you that that is complete and utter nonsense, okay? God loves you whatever you've done, and God accepts you and welcomes you whatever you've done. And I would just like to say, we come to the end of July. This is the last time that I'm going to be standing here. We're not going to be doing this during August. We're going to be doing something completely different during August, and we'll start something different in September. But I want you to go away knowing today that God is good. I want you to go away with those words ringing in your ears. God is good. God is good. And God is good, but God thinks, you're saying these words to yourself, that God thinks I am awesome. Okay? God is good, and God thinks I am awesome, and nothing I can do can stop him loving me. I want you to think about that over the summer. I want you to think about that. I want you to take that away with you. We can talk about a whole lot of stuff, but if we take that away and hold that in our heads, that God is good and God thinks we are awesome, and there's nothing that we can do can stop him loving us more. Sometimes we have to sort things out, and sometimes we have to say sorry to God. That's part of the process, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love us and God doesn't think that we are amazing. What a way to finish. At the end of a time of being together, we come to the end, a bit of a break, to say, God, you are good, and nothing can stop you loving me anymore. Let's pray. God, thank you for those words that just can ring in our heads. God is good, and you think that we are amazing, and nothing we can do can stop you loving us. We can't be clever. We can't read our Bibles more. We can't sing more songs. We can't pray more. We can't be more humble. We can't do anything. You still love us the same yesterday and today and forever. Father, speak into our lives, I pray, over these few weeks when we do things differently and a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more simpler than perhaps what we do normally. Help us to remember that you are a good God and that you love us and you think that we are amazing. Father God, would you break that into our lives? Some of us really can't catch that. We think that we've done things, or there's things that stop that being true for us. Father, would you just plant that truth within us? That God is good, and that nothing we can do can stop you loving us any more than you do. So, Father, we say thank you. Thank you. We want to pray again for Margaret as she shoots off to be in her new home and hopefully connect with a new bunch of people in perhaps in Meads area. Father God, we ask your blessing on her. We thank you for her involvement and her prayers and her input into this church here over many, many, many years, and her wisdom as we came together as a two congregations to make this church. Father God, would you bless her? Help her to relax now, to let go of all the things that have been maybe going on over the past few days with selling houses and moving and making arrangements, and to really enjoy and be part of this new family that she's going to join. And for the rest of us, maybe some of us are going on holiday, maybe some of us won't be here for a few weeks, maybe we'll all be here. But Father, sometimes it's good to do things differently and relax and reflect and just recharge ourselves. And Father, as we do that, we pray that we might have good weather, that we might be able to get out and do things. And we pray that you will speak into our lives your goodness and your love and help us to understand how much you love us. And that will really be truth in our lives. So, Father, we say thank you to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.